You know, last Sunday I shared with you as I was actually going over my notes at home for as I was getting ready to come to the service. And you remember I shared with you that the Lord gave me this. This is not a year just to survive, but a year to thrive. How many of you know that thriving is a whole lot better than surviving? Now, I didn't say that we would have a trouble and problem free year. I just said that this is a year to thrive and not survive. Now, all of us are going to go through difficulties and challenges, situations. But I want you to notice that I said these things come to us. They come to visit. But we don't have to let them live with us. You know, to visit someone is temporary. To live with someone is permanent. You know, 2 Corinthians 4, I want to read 2 Corinthians 4, 16 through 18 and from the NLT. This is why we never give up. Though our bodies are dying, our spirits are being renewed every day. For our present troubles are small and won't last long. Yet they produce for us glory that vastly outweighs them and will last forever. So we don't look at the troubles we can see now. Rather, we fix our gaze on things that cannot be seen. For the things we see now will soon be gone. But the things we cannot see will last forever. I want you to notice something here. He didn't say we weren't going to have any troubles and difficulties. But he did say three things about difficulties and situations. He said they're small. They won't last long. And he didn't even look at them or take notice of them. Did you notice that in those scriptures? Now, as you go through life, myself, probably many of you have met people, and they start telling you about their problems and their trouble, and by the time they get done talking, you get the idea that their issue is bigger than God. But you see, Paul kept his eyes on God no matter what. No matter what he faced, no matter what he was going through, he kept his eyes on God. You know, the things he faced were not bigger than God. The things you face are not bigger than God. The things in his life, he said, wouldn't last forever, and they won't last for you either. The important thing is here, he refused to fix his attention on these things. We are all going to have different things that come into our lives, and some people are just surviving. But we want to thrive. And you have to be trained or train yourself, might be a better way to say it, to not be alarmed and upset when crisis, trouble, situation comes knocking at your door. You know, quit looking at the problem and look to God. Quit thinking about all the trouble and look to God. When the devil comes knocking to see if he can devour you and steal from you and destroy you, slam the door in his face. Now, you've heard me say this before, but one time a man came up to Dad, my dad, which was Kenneth E. Hagin, and he said, "Brother Hagin, would you pray that I'll have no more trouble with the devil?" Dad replied back to him, "Do you want me to pray that you'll die?" Now, this startled the man. But the rest of the story is that Dad sat down with him with the Word of God and began to instruct him according to the Word of God. And in John 16:33, it says, I've told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart because I have overcome the world. Here, we find, if you read the context of the scripture, Jesus is talking to the disciples, and he is telling them that he's going away, and when trouble comes, to go to the Father in his name, and it will be taken care of. In life, we all have to deal with the enemy of God called the devil. Now, you know, if you've studied, you know that he was kicked out of heaven. He was an archangel. And in Isaiah, talks about saw him falling from heaven. He took a third of the angels and tried to take over from God. And God said, "I don't think that's going to happen," and kicked him out. And Jesus said that I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. But the devil had come to kill, steal, and destroy. We are going to have to deal with natural situations that come our way, troubles, trials. But we don't have to dwell in them. We don't have to permanently live with them. We can, by the word of God, overcome them. You know, it's how we respond is whether we get relief or not. We have to respond the way Jesus did when he was tempted in the wilderness. We have to respond. He said, "It is written." In other words, he was responding with the word. We have to respond with the word and keep our focus on the word. Now, the enemy will do everything he can to get your focus off of what God said in the Holy Word and get your eyes looking at your situation, at your problem, at whatever's going on. But we need to keep our eyes fixed on the Word of God and our deliverer. You ever notice the enemy can come around and he can even take scripture and twist it around to try to get us to doubt God? Actually, if you go to, if you go to Jesus in the wilderness when he was tempted, the devil used scripture, but he turned it a little bit. You know, sometimes when we're facing a situation, the enemy says, "Oh, you don't qualify for any of the, because man, you've messed up so bad, you don't qualify." Well, all he's trying to do is get you to reason and get you over in the arena of reasoning, over and out of the arena of faith and believing God. You know, we got to keep our eyes on God. Keep our eyes on what God said in his word. We need to continually hear the word of God. Now it says faith comes by hearing, Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word, you know that. Well, now some people say, "Well, you got to hear somebody." No, he's meaning you can hear the word of God when you read the word of God. Why can you hear? Because this is God talking. So listen to what he's saying. We have to keep doing the word. Now, I want to just, there's many ways in which we can thrive in this coming year and not just survive, but I just want to touch on three this morning, okay? Only three, and I won't be that long, and you can go and get something to eat. But see, you feed your spiritual body, man, first, and then you go feed the natural person. Okay. First of all, we can believe and speak our way through difficulties and problems. 2 Corinthians 4:13, NLT. But we continue to preach because we have the same kind of faith the psalmist had when he said, I believe in God, so I spoke. Before they had the New Living Translation, they had the Living Bible. Now, in it, it said, we boldly say what we believe, trusting God to care for us, just as the Psalms writer did when he said, I believe, and therefore I speak. Then the Message Bible says that we're not keeping this quiet, not on your life. Just like the psalmist who wrote, I believe it, so I said it, we say what we believe. The Passion Translation says, we have the same spirit of faith that is described in the scriptures when it says, first I believed, then I spoke in faith. So we also first believe and then speak in faith. Now this verse, and I've read it from five different translations. It has only two things in it that are important for you. Now, it does talk about that the psalmist said this. Now, where is Paul getting this from? Paul was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, he said. If you study his life, there's possibility that he might have been a part of the Sanhedrin at one time. He was very well versed in the scripture. In fact, if you'll do study, you'll find that every young Jewish boy in that day was taught the scripture, the Torah. He very well knew this psalm because he had been taught. But secondly, Psalms was the prayer book and the song book for Israel. So it wasn't a hard reach to go back and to quote the Psalms. And actually, as you read the gospel, the four gospels, many times in there, something that they say, you can go back and find it in the Old Testament, especially in Isaiah. So the two things that are in there that we're going to have to use to thrive is believe the Word of God and speak the Word of God. When it says, no weapon formed against me will prosper, we got to believe that and say it. When it said, all of my needs are supplied according to his riches in glory, there in Philippians, we got to believe that and say it. Now, of course, this is very well explained to us in the scripture that is the cornerstone for this ministry. And it's on top of this building, faith. Mark 11:23. That's the scripture that my father, Kenneth E. Hagin, walked off the bed of affliction at 16 years of age. I'm going to read it from the NLT this morning. I tell you a truth. You can say to this mountain, may you be lifted up and thrown into the sea, and it will happen. But you must really believe it will happen and have no doubt in your heart. Believe and say. Now, Actually, when we begin, you do some study this, the many different people, and I take this avenue. Mountains here is a figuratively used. It's talking to us about our problems, our obstacles, and our difficulties that we face. Now, mountains are a problem. Now, I'm not talking about a physical mountain. I'm talking about the mountains that rise up in our lives, difficulties, situations, circumstances, so forth. And they look bigger than anything else. Mountains are obstructions that look immovable. Nothing can move it. But if we believe and speak the word of God, then this mountain, according to what the Bible says, has to get out of our way. You there? You're going home already. Or are you already at the restaurant eating? Or are you thinking about what you're going to order when you get there? That's not going to help you thrive in the new year. Now, it may help you thrive physically, but on the other side, it's not. When we believe what this Bible says and we speak it to our trials and troubles and so forth, they have to bow. We need to look at our issues that come to us as we navigate life down here. And just look at your situation and say, my faith will move you, mountain of trouble or whatever it is, for my life. When I believe and speak God's word, the mountains of difficulties and problems must go. Must go. We thrive by believing and speaking God's word. You can't believe it or speak it if you haven't read it and understand it. It's simple. Just read the Bible, especially the epistles, starting there with Romans. The writings of Paul is where the Christian finds out who he is in Christ, what he is in Christ, what he can have in Christ. That's where you find out your authority as a believer to speak the name of Jesus. And Paul says it there, at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. So, this is a very simple little message I have this morning. In fact, you already know everything I'm going to say, but I'm going to tell you about it again. Because the Apostle Peter said, in talking to his constituents, he said, as long as I'm in this body, I'm going to keep reminding you of these things. So, if you're going to thrive, you got to believe and speak God's word. Next, I want to deal with the fact that you have to worship and praise right in the middle of your difficulty. Let's look at Acts 16:25. The NLT. Around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening. Now, if you don't know the story, Paul and Silas were down in Philippi, and they were preaching, and they got thrown in the dungeon. Not just in the inn, they were put, it says, in the inner part of the dungeon. There they were. And suddenly, there was a massive earthquake, and the prison was shaken to its foundation. All the doors immediately flew open, and all the chains on every prisoner fell off. The jailer woke up to see the prison doors wide open. He assumed the prisoner had escaped, so he drew his sword to kill himself. But Paul shouted to him, "Stop! Don't kill yourself. We're all here." Now, if you haven't studied a little bit of world history, the Romans were in charge of the world at the time. The Roman Empire was in effect, and if you were a centurion or a captain, or we might say, or a colonel, or something like that, we would probably identify better with than that, the centurion. But if your prisoners escaped, they took your life because you let them escape. That's why Paul said that to him. In the King James, it says, "Don't harm yourself." Here he says, "Stop, don't kill yourself." Now, let's stop and think about this for a minute. Here Paul is doing what God asked him to do, speaking the word, preaching to the people, presenting Jesus Christ, the Savior, and he gets thrown in jail. I believe that would be a reason to get sad and depressed. Also, he could say, "Well, I'm doing what God told me to do." Excuse me. And he could have gotten bitter and began to blame God. I have, in my 60-some-odd years of preaching, I have seen this happen many, many times. Because something didn't go the way they thought it should go. And instead of going to God and knowing that he would see them through the situation, they got bitter and began to blame God. In fact, there's a little book out there that my dad put together called, a little booklet, it's called "Don't Blame God." You might want to read it. He could have gotten discouraged and said, "I quit. It's not worth it." But Paul knew the secret: praising and worshiping God was the way out. Praise and worship is the language of faith. Praise and worship is how you keep the switch of faith turned on. You know, some people, it's easy. They can praise and worship. Woo, hallelujah, glory. Sing the songs. Clap a hand. Raise a hand. As long as everything is good. But let a difficulty come along. And then they change their tune. Instead of praising and worshiping, they're whining and complaining. You'll never triumph or thrive over your troubles by going that route. Whining and complaining is the devil's language. Whining and complaining opens the door for the enemy himself to have hauled, as my dad used to say, and many of you have heard him preach, opens the door for the devil to hold high carnival in your life. I heard him say it many, many times. How many of you heard him preach and say that? I see lots of hands up. Paul knew that the way out was praising and worshiping God, not complaining, not giving up. If we're going to thrive this year instead of just survive, we really got to zero in on this one. You gotta sing praises to the Lord when there's not anything really to sing a praise about. But you sing praises anyway because your faith is not in your situation. Your faith is in what God's word said. And God's word said that he would deliver us out of all of our troubles. God's word said we're going to face troubles and trials, but take heart. He has overcome the world. And so long as we're in him, and you get in him by being born again and become a Christian. That's the way you're in Christ. And that's another subject, redemptive realities. Now, be a worshiper. Be a praiser. No matter what is happening in your life. No matter what you can see or can't see. No matter what you feel. No matter what's coming against you. Be a worshiper and a praiser. We got to just determine nothing will take the song out of my heart. You know, there are many things in the natural that we make a determination that nothing is going to stop us. You know, I don't know about ladies. Well, ladies now are playing ball, but how many of you people ever went out for a ball team in school? Before you ever went out there, you had to make up your mind and determine, I'm going to do what it takes to make the team. Am I right or wrong? If you just go out there and say, oh, well, I just want to play the game. I think I'll go out there and try. When they put the list out of who got cut, your name will be on it. Now, I don't know how they do it nowadays. When I was playing, you go out and you go and they have several practices, and then comes the day, and they post a list of everybody that made it. I see so many people saying, how many of y'all, and you guys been there? Man, you have to, you run down by the gym where the board is, and you, sometimes with fear and trembling, you go up there to see if your name's on the list. So you go start going down the list. See, you got to make up your mind. Spiritually, I'm talking about that nothing is going to keep you from praising and worshiping God. Don't care what it is. Come on now. When the devil knocks on your door and offers you a package of sadness, depression, and fear, boldly say, no, thank you, that's the wrong address. Bam. We can survive in every situation if we learn how to be a worshiper. Now, let me look at one more thing before we go. Now, like I said, there's several things that we could look at to thrive from the Word, but these three are picked out. We must rejoice and be glad in the middle of our trial and difficulty. What? Rejoice and be glad? In the middle of a tough situation? Well, James says it like this in James chapter 1. Now, Brother James was the pastor of the church in Jerusalem. And he comes down with some pretty hard pastoral teaching when you read the book of James. Many people read Corinthians and Thessalonians and all the other, but in the New Testament, but not many people want to read James very often because it sort of nails your hide to the wall. You have to put up or shut up when you read James. Now, here's what he says. James 1. Dear brothers and sisters, when trouble of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for joy. What? For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. For when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect, complete, needing nothing. I want you to notice he says when. He didn't say if. He said when trouble comes. Indicating that it is going to come. Just most of the time, it comes out of the clear blue. It hits you up, boom, whoa, what in the world? Now, the devil will come to you and begin to tell you that, now this kind of trial, you just have to learn to walk with it and live with it because there's no way out. No matter what the trouble, no matter what is being said, we decide to rejoice in the Lord. And the word rejoice in what God will do, rejoice in God's promises, rejoice in His ability, rejoice in His faithfulness. See, count it all joy. So you be joyful for the promises of God. You be joyful that it's God's ability He will deliver you. God is faithful. You know, I've seen some people talk to them. They look so sad and depressed. And when I ask them what's the matter, they say, oh, we have trouble. But we believe in God. We're going to get through it now. Just believe in God. Well, they don't believe that. If they did, they wouldn't be talking like that. Do you ever realize you can watch people's facial expressions and listen to how their voice intonation and realize whether they really believe what they're saying or not? Or they're just saying it because they think that's what you want to hear. You know, look at what Paul said here in Philippians 4:4. He was in prison again. And he wrote this, New King James, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. The NLT says it, always be full of joy in the Lord, and I say it again, rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord in the middle of your situation, the middle of your trouble. Paul was full of joy when he was in the middle, in a prison. He still had joy. Paul was full of joy wherever he went, whatever he did. You can read it in his epistles. And he just didn't say rejoice, but he said, again, rejoice. Not just one time. We got to be glad instead of sad. I don't care how sad the situation is, we still got to be glad. Maybe not glad for the situation, glad that we know that God is our deliverer. We got to laugh instead of cry. Well, why are you going to laugh in a troubled situation? Because you know what the outcome is. You cry when there's no hope, but you don't cry when you know what the outcome is. I don't think that Paul really had a feeling to rejoice and sing praises to God He made a choice. He decided to rejoice and be glad in the middle of the problem. Somebody said, well, when this is all over, then I'll rejoice. Well, that's not what Paul said. Both Paul and James tells us to rejoice and to be glad in the middle of difficulty. When we do that, we'll see God move in our behalf. You know, we need to stop whining and complaining in your situation and begin to believe and to speak the word. Quit worrying and begin to worship. Quit whining and begin to sing joyful songs unto the Lord.
What am I supposed to sing about, Pastor?
Well, sing about what God can do and has done in your life. Sing songs of victory and not defeat. Decide to rejoice and be glad no matter what. If we'll learn to believe God's word, speak it, be glad and rejoice, and laugh at the devil, we will see things come to pass in our life that we've been believing for. I truly believe that God wants his people to thrive instead of just survive. Though you may have the opportunity to do otherwise, determine to receive what God has promised you. You see, he's willing to perform his word for those that will believe. He will come on the scene and there will be relief. But you must believe and you must speak my word. You must believe what my word says and not what you see, not what you feel, not what you're going through. Only believe what the word says and rejoice and be glad in it, and you'll come out on the other side. And oh, you'll be so glad. Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to God. Everybody stand. I'm going to end right there on that. I can't do no better than the Holy Spirit. Heavenly Father, thank you for the word today. Thank you that each individual will take the part of this message that they need in their life and apply it and use it so that we will thrive and not just survive. In Jesus' name, amen. If you happen to be in this place today and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, or maybe you accepted him, but then you just have sort of got off path, off the road, and you need to come back and rededicate your life to God. Or you may be here today and you know you are born again of the Spirit, but you've never been filled with the Spirit. And I'm not talking about church creed or doctrine. I'm talking about what the Bible says. And Acts chapter 2, verse number 4, they all began to speak with tongues. The Spirit gave them utterance. You say, I'd like to have that experience. If that's you on any one of those three invitations, I want to pray for you and I want to pray with you, but I can't do that if I don't know who you are. So would you just simply raise your hand? Ushers, would you help me look through the crowd? Anybody? Salvation, rededication, receiving the Spirit? Anybody? Anywhere in the room today? Upstairs? Downstairs? Praise the Lord. I don't see any hands. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you that there be one person in this room today or that's listening to my sound of my voice. I pray that the convicting power of God would go with them and they wouldn't be satisfied doing anything till they stop and accept Jesus Christ or rededicate their life to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, I hear you back there. Did you have something you want to say? Huh? Don't have anything today? Okay. I'm getting in the habit of doing that because I haven't been doing that, and they have something really good, and I pass it up, so I have to ask them. Now I'm doing that. Anybody get anything out of this today? We're going to thrive in 23, not just survive. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Well, we have a great crowd today. Man, I mean, the balcony, the part that's open is almost full, and this is down here. Man, praise the Lord. If you're a first-time guest with us today, we're so glad to have you. If you happen to be looking for a church home, what do we say, church? Welcome home. Connection team, find our first time guest and take them to get that gift for them. The staff is going right now to the doors. Lynette and I are going to be at the south door. There's where everybody's going to be today. Donnie, Denise, Craig, Tad, they're all, it tells you if you want to shake hands with them. I'll be south if you want to come where I'm at. Tonight, 6 o'clock right here, Wednesday night, 7. Hey, remember all the announcements. If you can't remember them, pick up a printed bulletin out there. We print them for you, or you can go online to raymond.org and find them there. They're going to sing a chorus, and you're dismissed at the end of that chorus, and I got to get to the door. God bless. See you tonight at 6.
So come on, declare, I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. Tell them.